you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys.
Ready to learn everything you ever wanted to know and a whole lot that you didn't. It's time for a Chats episode.
Hey man, I'm good old boy Barger, and with me today is Kevin Newman from Artista Cigars. Is it El Artista Cigars or is it Artista Cigars?
We dropped the L. That's just Artista.
Last time I said that to Nathan, he was like, it's actually El Artista. And I was like, shut up, Nathan. Box says Artista.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not wrong.
Well, no, he's not wrong, but he's not right either.
That's correct.
So, I win.
The gringos can say El Artista for the most part.
That's right. So. That's like El Nino, you know?
Right.
Spanish for the Nino.
El Nino.
I'm El Nino. I love it. Well, listen, for our listeners, this is one of our Chats episodes. Thank you guys for joining us. This is where we're going to get to know the manufacturers and the faces behind the cigars that you like to smoke. Or maybe you don't like to smoke because you've never had them. Anyway, we're going to talk about some fun things and topics, get you to know, and we're blind tasting him on a cigar right now that I'm smoking as well with him, and we're going to reveal that at the end where he doesn't know what it is. So, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned at the top, my name is Kevin Newman. I'm Vice President of Artista Cigars.
Where are they based out of?
Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Just happened to be the largest tobacco leaf grower in the DR.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been doing about 70 years. Not me personally, but.
Yeah. I knew you were getting up there in age, but yeah, man. Well, Lord.
Can you imagine?
So so you guys are farm, aging, rolling, everything in-house?
Yeah. Vertically integrated from soil all the way out to shelf. Yeah.
Okay. And what region are you guys in?
Well, we have 120 farms across two continents.
Okay.
So
that's pretty big.
Yeah, DR and Ecuador.
Okay. Well, cool, man. Well, cool. So tell us a little bit about where did you find your love for cigars? What started you on this journey?
It's kind of wild, actually. So when I was in college, I didn't do any drugs. I didn't really drink, but just I was a pretty clean kid. But I got an interest in tobacco, but I didn't want to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
So I was over at the Chevron down by my house, and I saw a pack of what looked like very good cigars called Swisher Sweets.
Oh.
Yeah, wood hot. Dip. Yeah, buddy. So I lit those up, and they were all right, but my lips kept getting all numb and full of tar. And at the time, I was washing cars for a living. That's what I was doing through college.
All right.
And one of my clients, they all happen to be like really high-end folk. You know, they were, I wouldn't say they're rich, but they're just driving really nice cars. And one of the guys saw me smoking a Swisher. And he goes, you got to put that down. I'm like, oh, you don't want me around your car with it? He says, no, uh-huh. No, that's not it at all. That's not very good. I see that you're smoking cigar, but let's get you a real cigar.
Yeah.
So he got me a couple really nice cigars, which was nice, but I didn't really know what they were. And ultimately, what they were Upmans.
Okay.
From Cuba.
Ooh, H. Upman, man. I love H. Upmans.
I didn't know what I had in my hand, man.
Yeah.
So, again, keep smoking these cigars. And I continued to smoke for about 10 years. and didn't know much about the business. You know, I'd read the Cigar Aficionado every once in a while when I'd be at the dentist or the doctor's office. And I was out of work because, you know, the economy fell apart in 2009. Sure. And I was looking for a job. And a job posting came up for Phillips and King and Creedtech.
Okay.
And they just happened to be the largest wholesale distributor of tobacco products in the U.S. And they're 15 miles from my house.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how I got into the industry, man.
Thanks. And then it's just been uphill ever since, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's been amazing. The industry kind of mimics the people that work in it.
Sure.
I think that's true in almost any industry you're in. The Latino culture is very open, very welcoming, yeah. Very warm. Sit down, have a cup of coffee, have a chat.
Yeah. I was just at a Latino Christmas party last night. And, you know, me and my wife, and there was another two or three couples that were non-Latino. And it was just so funny listening to all of them talk. And you want empanadas? You want this? You want this? I'm like, yeah, I'll eat all that.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Like, let's go. I'm down. So that was pretty fun.
I felt very welcomed into an industry that I didn't know much about other than that I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I think that love of it spoke volumes to the people that were running the things, all the factories.
So what was it that made you latch on and say, this is my ticket? This is what I love. Because like you said, it was just a hobby until you got into the job. And then the money's the obvious. Sure, you get paid well to do what you want to do. But the thing is what, you know, aside from being paid or not paid, what was it about the culture and the all-around people that you fell in love with? What made you fall in love with it?
It instantly became a family for me. I come from kind of a messed up background, familial,
sure.
You know, like family-wise. My folks tried real hard to make sure everything felt normal, but it just wasn't around my house. So when I walked into this industry, it felt like home to me. It wasn't a particular group of people that did that. It was the whole thing. From the sales guys to marketing to the factories to everybody.
Yeah.
It just felt like I was being embraced in a way that I wasn't in my previous career. Yeah. I started out in finance, which is like, you know, a cold embrace.
Sure.
It was totally different. And the money's not great. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not like we're all getting to be
a millionaire. For sure.
But there's something more than money when you're in a career.
Yeah.
And that longevity, the thing that keeps you coming back, usually isn't the dollar.
Right.
Right.
It's the relationships.
It's the relationships, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's important, too. You know, that's almost the most important part is the relationships. And I think that, you know, without the relationships that we've had with our podcast, like, we wouldn't be where we are. You know, we try to take care of people and we try to be honest with people. And I think the honesty goes a long way. Like, I'm not just going to give you some rating and tell you that, oh, your cigar is great just because I want a cigar. No, I'll go buy a cigar. You know, I enjoy your cigars because I enjoy you as a person. Like, I enjoy you as, like, I don't even have to like the cigar, you know, because you could find something about any cigar that you like and you could find something about any cigar that you don't like. And then, you know, we all know taste is subjective. So it's interesting to me just how relational this business is. And it's almost, aside from product, it's 85%, in my opinion, relational.
100%. I agree with you on that. I mean, we met each other just last year.
Yeah.
For the first time, you're sitting down in our booth.
Yeah.
I mean, we're busy at PCA, but I'm not too busy to sit down and talk with somebody. Right. It doesn't matter who you are, right? And how long did we talk for? Like 45 minutes,
dude,
an hour?
We sat there for like an hour drinking rum and talking.
Just talked about video games, cars. Yeah, we talked a little bit about cigars, but that was kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was awesome. And that's kind of what made me that, you know, that's one of the, I had been smoking the Buffalo 10 and a couple others like the Paper Boys before the PCA. You know, those were cigars that I smoked that you guys manufacture. Beforehand, so I didn't know you guys from Adam though. And when I came in, it was just like, hey man, I love this. Like, we did a thing on this. And once it was, you know, got to talking to you guys, and you guys were like just down to earth. you know, especially Ram. Is it
your? Yeah, Ram.
Is it, how do you pronounce it?
It's Radames, but we call him Ram.
Ram. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Super chill dude, man. You got me to sit down and talk with him for an hour too.
Yeah.
And that dude is just all about video games. I love it. I can't
Super
wait.
Super Smash Bros.
Dude,
dog.
I can't wait to go down there mm-hmm. and just like get on in some Smash Brothers. Because I'm terrible at it. If I bring my son with me, though, he might put up a fight. You know?
It's trickery.
That's right. That's right. So I'm going to be reading some questions here. Not super enjoyable questions, but...
Wonderful.
One of my main questions is, with all the stress and all the things that are in the industry, where do you find joy?
This right here, man. I mean, not to kiss your butt or
blow smoke, no, sure.
Literally this. I mean, I came down... I landed in Nashville, what, Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. About a week ago. And I've been in Nashville and Dixon. And then I went down to Tupelo, Mississippi,
yeah.
Starkville. I've been all over. And it's a grind. I mean, these are 12-hour days.
Yeah.
But it's the shaking the hands, hearing the stories, talking with people.
Yeah.
That's where I find the joy, man. Last night, I met a kid from Morocco. He's a PhD sweet. Candidate over at MSU.
Okay, Murray State? Yeah.
Mississippi State.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right, man.
I went to Murray State.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And he's living the American dream. He got here in 2019, and he's about to graduate with a PhD in aerospace engineering.
That's cool.
That's very cool. And he wants to live in the United States, stay here, and do work for the U.S.
Really?
To help us do great work. I wouldn't have known that kid if it wasn't for the cigar industry.
Yeah.
We weren't talking about cigars. We were talking about him.
That's awesome.
That's what gives me joy, man. I love the stories.
Yeah. You know? No, I find the same. I find the very same thing all the time. We're going to take a quick break here just shortly. Have a word from a sponsor, or maybe a word from me. You never know what's going to pop up. Anyway, you guys enjoy, and we'll be right back. And we're back with Two Bros, One Stick. I mean, a Chats episode. Thank you for returning with us. Sitting with me is Kevin Newman from Artista Cigars. So, tell me something interesting about yourself. Tell me something I don't know.
I grew up in a restaurant. I started my
You lived in the restaurant?
Well, pretty much. I mean, like, my bed was about 7 miles away.
It's like a Steve Martin jerk kind of thing.
Yeah,
he hates cans.
Right. He hates these cans. No, I grew up in a restaurant, and from about the age of 8 to 18, I assisted my folks in our family restaurant. That's how we made money. And I learned how to wash dishes real well. But one thing I did that was kind of cool is I helped my dad Sunday mornings do all the prep cook.
Okay, for the week?
Well, more like for the afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Veggies and whatnot.
Yeah, eggs, veggies, the whole thing. So, for sure. You know, get up at 5 in the morning, get to the restaurant by 7. Everything's fired up by 7:30 and the door's open.
Cooking away.
And just do it, yeah. And from that base, I've become a pretty good cook.
Yeah?
Yeah. It actually helps me in the cigar industry, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, so when we're in the blending room, I kind of think of like, okay, this is the salt.
Okay.
This is the garlic, and here's our mirepoix over here in the corner. And
okay.
We're gonna put this together. Word. And you know what a mirepoix is?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. It's French.
Oh, oui.
Yeah, it's a combination of three vegetables. There's different types of mirepoix, but you've got a celery, you got a carrot, and you got an onion.
Okay.
You put that together, and that's a mirepoix, and that'll be your base for like a soup or a stew or some sort of sauce. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I learned something new today.
So that's something about me, man. I love to cook, and I really, really do enjoy it. I got photos on my phone. It's kind of like my...
Yeah?
You know, some guys got pictures of feet like you do.
Well, I mean, you weren't supposed to say that out loud.
Oh, man. You can edit that out, right?
Yeah, we'll try.
Banned once again.
That's right. Hashtag feed finders. What?
Mm-hmm. Well,
we'll take them advertisement dollars, though. So let me ask. So let me ask you something here. If you give me your top five cigars.
Top five.
Top five.
Oh my gosh. So most guys have a top five, like their staple of cigars that they smoke all the time. I smoke everything. That's the thing. So I know you guys are going to keep this episode for a long time in your back catalog, and I apologize to the audience in advance.
I don't. They'll figure it out.
Well, right now what I'm smoking, and I'm probably sure like a lot of your folks will be confused because I'm not going to mention Artista cigars while I'm talking about these other cigars, because Artista cigar is a good cigar, but it's just not what I'm rotating out.
Sure.
I have my humidor.
Thank you. Yeah.
So.
It's because you send them to my humidor.
Yeah, I send a lot of cigars everywhere. I will check that, though. Probably in the top five, I'm going to put the Pulita 60th Anniversario, because it's actually really good.
Really?
Yeah. I'm smoking a lot of that.
Okay, I don't think I've had that one yet.
Yeah. I think I gave you a bundle of it.
Then I will smoke that.
Yeah.
I haven't smoked it, but I will. This is actually my first cigar in 2 weeks.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. You've not been
I got, yeah. You know, I went to my family's place, or my family. My family lives in Kentucky. My wife's family lives in Oklahoma. So we went to Oklahoma and did Thanksgiving and Christmas over Thanksgiving. And they didn't let me know they were sick before we went. And so I got there and was welcome to bronchitis for Thanksgiving. Hooray.
Some guys get a turducken.
That's right. Some guys get turkey and dressing. You get bronchitis. That's right. So what else? You got four more to go. Let's go. Mm-hmm. If you could only smoke these cigars for the rest of your life.
These are always the funniest questions I get.
I know, but come on, you got to have something.
Marlboro Red, Camel Light.
Yeah, Camel Light. No. Quit it. You're making me cough.
So I'm not going to order them because that doesn't make any sense.
You know, but I'm let's not just telling throw you to rank them. Just put five in there.
The Davidoff Colorado Claro.
Oh, that's a great cigar.
One of my favorite cigars, man.
That thing ages really well.
It's incredible.
So I've had one. A buddy of mine's the rep for Davidoff, and he's got a whole bunch of vintage Davidoff stuff that he's just saved over the years. And, you know, he'll start bringing them out, and the cellophane's orange.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had one of them. It was more so, man, that puppy gets good with some age on it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that Davidoff to do that because of how mild they are in their flavor profile. But it's so interesting in how that flavor opens up. I've only had a couple of them that have been that vintage, 10 years plus age in the cellophane, that really just didn't have much flavor at all. But off the list of ones that I've had and the list of ones that I haven't had, you know, that the ones that didn't have any flavor were very like 2 out of 20, you know. So what else?
I've been smoking a lot of Charter Oak.
Okay.
Yeah,
No, that's from Maduro. Foundation,
that's
right?
That's from Foundation.
Yeah, that's a great cigar.
It was incredible.
Now, they just released another version of it that's double the price.
Yeah, it's a little bit more upscale on the packaging.
Yeah, they upscaled it on the packaging, and I don't know if they changed the blend or anything, but I haven't talked to them. I'd love to get them on, too.
But that cigar is incredible, man. Yeah. Maduro. I've smoked, probably on this trip, I smoked like 6 or 7 of them.
Mm.
Yeah, it's wild. Beyond that, one of the cigars I smoked a lot when I was younger, when I started getting into cigars, was the Hoyo de Monterrey.
Okay.
The Connecticut, number 2.
And the red band?
Yeah, no.
Or
no,
is this the yellow band?
It's the yellow and the gold.
Yeah.
It's so good. So good. I did smoke one on this trip. Wasn't as good as I remember, but that's not the cigar's fault. I've smoked like 30 cigars on this trip. So
yeah, 30 cigars in 4 days. That's great. That's good.
It's been about 7.
It's a marathon. But,
but I can't smoke in the rental car.
Right? You can edit that. All right, you got one more. Let's get one more.
One more. Well, there's a cigar from a long time ago.
Here it is.
Project 805.
Okay.
You ever smoked that cigar?
No.
There's probably about 4 people that listen to this podcast that know what I'm talking about.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good cigar. It had Andullo in it. Are you familiar with Andullo?
Oh, it sounds French.
It's not. Well, maybe it is. I don't know, but it's Dominican.
Like Andouille sauce for the
Yeah, that's exactly
the
right.
Roast beef?
The tobacco looks, it's a 6-foot-long Andouille.
Oh, okay.
You don't know about Andullo?
No, man. Let's talk about it.
Okay, let's talk about Andullo.
I don't know everything about cigars. I'm just playing one on TV.
Well, you got to get down to the DR. This is the problem.
I'm down. All right? You're telling me
we're
going
to bring you to the
it.
Factory and grab you by that red beard and just drag you down
just,
there, man.
You're going to lick it. Lick that leaf.
Well, you could lick Andullo because it's chewing tobacco.
Ooh, I love it. Let's go.
Yeah. So what they do is Andullo isn't a tobacco as much as it is a process. And they grow these different types of species. The one that I used was Amarillo Parado. That's the species.
Okay.
And it's like kind of a long, skinny leaf. Almost looks like a banana. And they take that. You take it right off. They cure it. And then they throw it into a thing called a yagua.
Okay.
Which I think you're familiar with what a yagua is.
A bucket?
Yeah. So
ish, it's a square tub that's long.
Well, in this case, it's the palm tree husk.
Oh.
Yeah. It's about 6 feet long. And they take all the tobacco and they lay it in there. And they get it real wet. They hit it into boiling water to kill some of the fungus that might be on there. Yeah. And they wrap it with rope. I've got video of this. I could just send this to you.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they wrap it with the hemp twine or whatever, the rope.
Yeah, they wrap it up with the rope. Mm-hmm. And it just sits there and it ferments just like that. Yeah. That time and pressure cures that tobacco. It can be 12 months, 18 months, 24 months.
Sure.
But after it's done, they crack the yagua and they pull it out. And it's thick, oily, very rich tobacco.
Okay.
And they use it as chewing tobacco and pipe tobacco in the DR.
Hmm.
We put it into a cigar a long time ago.
Yeah. And it's called the 805?
Project 805.
Okay.
It's a canceled project with another company, but it was a good cigar.
I think you might have sent me some of those.
I think I did, yeah.
I need to look through my box. I've got so much stuff to go through.
It was good.
Yeah.
It's strong.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I kind of thought you'd throw that Psycho on there.
Mm, I always do that.
Yeah?
That's one thing I always say, yeah.
The Psycho?
Yeah, I think people are tired of it by now.
I think people are tired of it because they can't get them.
Yeah, well, you can still get them. I mean, they're still available. They're out there.
Yeah?
Yeah. For those who don't know what we're talking about, you want to enlighten them?
Well, it was, to my understanding, it was a project that you did with a couple other guys in the early 2000s. And it was a 7-leaf, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. That's a good memory, man.
Yeah, 7-leaf cigar and called the Psycho 7.
Yeah.
And it was a hit with a lot of people, but not a hit enough with some people. And it didn't really take off like it should have.
Well, we did sell 1 million cigars.
Oh,
so
well,
that's
there
you a good go. Deal. It just wasn't a hit with management.
Oh, that's what it was.
It didn't strike the rhythm that they were looking for with their band.
Didn't play the David's chord for them.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, I don't think they've phased it out. you could still buy it.
Candy's still buying? Okay.
It's just, they, it wasn't the style that they were looking for that company. Yeah.
It was just a loud cigar.
It was a good cigar.
It was a good cigar. It still is a good cigar. I mean, I still got half a box at the house. It's a great cigar.
Yeah. But I'm the K in Psycho. That's why we spelled it weird.
That's right. That's right. Not to, you know, not about his mental stability anymore, but.
Oh, and that cigar was completely named for me, man.
That's awesome. So you had said earlier you used to be a preacher.
Yeah, so I dabbled in it. I didn't grow up in a church.
It's not like witchcraft, you know? Well, I guess it could be if you dabble.
It depends. You get in some parts of the South, dog. I mean, they got snakes.
Yeah. We're in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. About 16 years old, my buddy Will, still my best friend in the whole world. Still love you, Dan Garing. You're my best friend too, Bo. But Will invited me to church, the Assemblies of God. And I hit him. I just said, okay, let's go. And we started doing youth group, and then I started coming to church on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And leadership over there was like, hey, let's give you a microphone and see how you can do.
Horrible idea.
Right? The dumbest thing ever.
And I can only say that because I've been in those shoes as well. Mm-hmm. I've had the microphone before. It's like the wedding singer, you know, when he's like crying and he's like, I have the microphone, so you will listen to every damn word I have to say.
Do you really want to hurt That's me? Right. Turns out I wasn't afraid of the microphone.
Oh, no, you weren't.
No, I actually kind of like it. So I went from kind of doing some Sunday school stuff to full on preaching to 300 kids at Skate Street in Ventura, California. Well, shout out. It was a fun ride.
So do you find that in that lifestyle coincides with the cigar industry a little bit?
Yeah, there's a lot of faith in the cigar industry.
Yeah, for sure. they living on it right there, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's definitely a following on both sides. And there's some diehards on both sides. But ultimately, it's all about relationships, communication, and love.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to just simplify it, distill it down to its component parts. Yeah. That's what it is, man.
Talking about distilling, huh? What do you like to drink?
I'm going to break your heart right here.
He is going to break my heart.
Yeah, Macallan 18 all day, every day. Yeah,
so you just tickled Mike's pink, but I mean, I'll drink it if it's there. Yeah, I'll drink it if it's there, but it's not my forte. It's too peaty.
Yeah, that's what I hear. A lot of guys who like the bourbon, they don't really like the peat, but I like that sting. Like the burn.
Mike's yelling at me. He said, there's no pee. But he doesn't know how sensitive I am.
Yeah. Well, lately, and thanks to you, I've been drinking a lot of that E.H. Taylor.
That's a good one, man. The small batch is great.
Small batch, yeah.
Did you open that single barrel?
I can either confirm or deny the existence of that single barrel.
Well, was it good?
It's always good.
Oh, there you go.
It's always good. Never really been a bourbon guy because out in California, it's kind of hard to find good bourbons. I can get you a tequila. I can get you 40 different types in about an hour. But out where I'm at, it's wine, tequila, and Grey Goose vodka. But finding real good bourbons, even whiskeys, is tough unless you go to a high-end bottle shop and they're going to charge that high-end price.
Yeah,
I can get that small batch for about $1.50, $1.80 a bottle. And I just didn't want to pay that.
Yeah, that's way too much, man.
Right, especially when you see the prices out here.
The markups, dude, is so insane. Are you going to stock up on some stuff here, take it home with you?
Thought about it.
So there's a pretty good shop down the street here. About a mile down the road on the left is Main Street Wine and Spirits. They just had their bourbon day. So they've got a whole bunch of bourbons from all over.
We'll have to make a stop.
Oh, it's on Tuesday? Oh, I was wrong, folks. It's on Tuesday. But, you know, don't listen to me for the news because I'm going to let you down every time. But if you're still here on Tuesday, you can go sit outside and wait overnight with all the people and
camp out.
Get you a Pappy Van Winkle if you're first in line. You could, man. At retail, too. They retail everything on the Bourbon Day, which is actually pretty good. Their prices are, you know, for around here. So problem that I have, and this is not a problem that I have found in the cigar industry yet, because we all know the three-tier system, right? Everything's 100% markup three times. So by the time it goes from the manufacturer, it's 100% markup to the wholesale. And the wholesale is 100% markup or more to the retail.